Welcome to Record of Change, a podcast featuring conversations with people around the world to understand how the ongoing coronavirus pandemic is shaping their lives. I'm Pratap Nair, your host for this episode. Today, we're talking to Alan Rocha, a sales professional who lives in Bangalore, India. Alan is a queer millennial who experienced a lockdown in Bangalore with his dog and his newly adopted cat. Alan says certain boundaries have been blurred in queer people's lives during the lockdown and in the absence of physical proximity to one another. The lockdown has also been especially trying for closeted queer people who live with their parents. Alan describes it as claustrophobic. One little side note before we head to the episode. In this episode, you may notice that the sound quality of the recording is inconsistent. We've had issues with internet connectivity, resulting in patchy recording of the episode. We apologize for it.
My name is Alan. I'm based in Bangalore in India. I basically into sales and marketing, and I currently work for Saint Gobain, India. And I'm originally from Kerala in India. But yeah, I currently reside in Koramangala in Bangalore. I have a dog and a cat as companions. I recently shifted during the lockdown as well. I mean, while the lockdown restrictions started easing out, I had shifted homes. And one main reason why I shifted too is that this area was more spacious and more dog-friendly neighborhood. So I felt a need for more space, which became very apparent when I and the dog used to spend more time at home. So need for space was quite evident. And yeah, so though my pets were quite happy to see me at home, but yeah, I felt like there was a need of space. Since initial during lockdown, yeah, I was restricted inside home.
Interesting. How did you hear about the lockdown?
So actually we were hearing just of these news since January, and it was highlighted initially for us because the first case of corona happened to be from Kerala, where I come from. So by March, I think the cases started picking up in India in general. And Bangalore wasn't so affected, but we could hear cases here and there where in some IT parks, someone who traveled from abroad. So that time, the main stigma was scapegoats, basically, where people who traveled from abroad, they were considered to be, you know, untouchable sorts, because like, okay, you might be at a risk of getting me infected. But nothing of that sorts in and around me. And Bangalore cases were very less, very negligible. And very unlikely. So this was in the air. People were getting little. So my friend, so I have a couple of friends that I hang out with. And one of them was already wary about the situation and was very precautious. And he was taking all lot of steps before it blew up to such a proportion to be safe. So we had a very normal weekend. I still remember we went to Cubbon Park. We went for breakfast. We took a dog for the dog park for a stroll in the dog park. We went for a walk in Cubbon Park. We came back, and then that evening was when our Prime Minister came on to the TV and announced that there's going to be a lockdown, which is unheard of, at least in my lifetime. And I don't think even my parents have gone through that. Where a complete lockdown where nobody's even allowed to step out. So that was a shocker. So I still remember I was a little bit calm, and so was my other friend, because my first main thing which bothered everybody was how will I get my essentials? How will I get the basic necessities? And there was a lot of uncertainty, though the government kept telling us that everything will be normalized. There will be essentials provided. So I still remember telling my friends, I think we should just calm down and not go and buy and stand in a queue. And because in that 3 hours before the lockdown was supposed to set in, I remember a lot of places were crowded with people just trying to ransack and get as much as and hold a lot of essentials. So they are, because at that point of time, we were supposed to think it was supposed to last for just 2 weeks. So yeah, so at that point of time, it it was a total surprise. Everybody's sitting at home. The main thing I felt was we as boys who stay alone or cook and fend for ourselves, we have this habit of ordering in food or getting some certain stuff pre-packed from outside. So all that changed. So that was a big turning point, this lockdown, where everybody became self-sufficient cooks, sharing recipes, basically. So yes, that was the onset of the whole lockdown in India.
So when the lockdown happened, you were not even allowed to go outside, no?
You're only allowed to go to buy essentials and no going out without masks. So the thing was, though the lockdown was very strictly mentioned with all these guidelines, what we saw in the first phase of lockdown and as days progressed was, initially there was this fear in people about the whole, the pandemic, which happened. Right. So nobody even stepped out. Even if you could see, online deliveries shot up like crazy, and there were no scheduled deliveries available anytime in the future. Because earlier, for instance, people who order food and groceries from an online app called Big Basket, they used to get their deliveries done in, say, 2 days or the next day delivery. But all that changed because there was so much of heightened demand for everything to be delivered at your doorstep. Nobody wanted to step out. And so, yeah, that changed. So nobody used to step out. In the first 2 weeks of lockdown, nobody used to step out. Everybody was in the hopes that this will get contained. So let's do our part to be at home and not spread and not get infected and not even spread it. So that was a big, big notion of it. So during that first lockdown, everybody was in Bangalore. I have never seen Bangalore so empty. I used to take my dog just for a quick walk, just to buy milk in the morning. That's the only time I step out in the day. And you can see everybody used to be so apprehensive. They used to have, so there was no bifurcation of how much pace to be maintained. And these are local Kirana shops. So they used to tie these ropes in front of their shop so that nobody comes really in close proximity to the shop owner. And Bangalore, in general, was a city where I found online payments were very acceptable norm, say Google Pay or Phone Pay, all these digital platforms where you pay them, UPI payments. And I think that also kind of boomed because nobody wanted to exchange money either. So yeah, the first 2 weeks of lockdown was strict lockdown. I don't think anybody did stray from the guidelines given. They were more worried about, because it's something new for all of us. So how do we get our essentials? That was the main worry. So we should not run out of food, that we don't want to have to go run out and get ourselves exposed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And actually nobody even ventured out for an instance where it had to come to where you need to check social distancing because everybody was scared. It was at the second leg of lockdown where it got extended in April. That's when people started venturing out because by then everybody reached their boiling point of sitting in one place and under one roof. So yeah.
How is it, Alan, to be locked down? Can you describe your lockdown experiences? How was it to you?
Honestly speaking, on a personal note, I'm a very, like a lone wolf. I don't mind staying by myself. The only thing was I could meet, so the only time I meet my friends were during the weekends, even during normal times. So that was something which was being missed out, or going out and just, you know, just not being stuck at one place. Yes, that was a little frustrating. But I was not really depressed or stressed out by the fact that I have to be locked in the home throughout. I work in sales. So there's a lot of traveling in and around the city which needs to be done. And I used to dread sometimes doing that. And I would be like, I would love to work from home.
Yeah, but still, I mean, during regular times, you have the freedom to go out whenever you want to go meet friends and so on. But this was extraordinary. Tell me about your dog and your cat.
My dog is now, say, he's nearing 2 years. And just before the lockdown, so what happened was, I live alone. So my dog and me are just companions or roommates, if you can call. So when I used to go out for work, he used to be predominantly alone at home. So I thought, getting him a companion would help him spend his time during the day when I'm not at home, because he faces issues of separation anxiety where he gets a little anxious when I leave. I was damn sure I was not going to get another dog for a companion's sake. So I happened to go with a friend of mine, and he was getting few birds. And that home from where he was checking out to get few birds, there was a cat, two kittens, and the owner of the home was like, he had put it up for adoption. So I don't know, at the spur of the moment, I thought, okay, let me just adopt the cat and see how it goes. So I just got the cat, and she was just 2 months old. And I brought her home, and I think 4 or 5 days after that, the whole lockdown situation started. So, yeah.
Okay, usually in cities like Bangalore, in any city in India, if you're a single man, it's difficult to find a flat. And if you're a single man with a dog, it's even more difficult. And if you're a single man with a dog and a cat, it's probably the most difficult thing to find a flat. But you were lucky.
So yeah, I was lucky because the landlord of this home is my dear friend. So that really helped. Otherwise, finding a home where dogs are allowed and cats are not much of a problem, because people here find cats as rodents, not as pets. So they just think that they roam around out in the open. But dogs is a nuisance across Bangalore.
It seems like your lockdown is probably an ideal scenario. You're locked down with your dog and your cat. But there are other people, like this friend of ours who is locked down with his mother, and he's not out to his mother, and he cannot meet his partner also. Are there other people like that? Can you tell me his situation? We won't name his name. Can you tell me a little bit about how his situation is?
I know a few friends of mine who actually live with their parents, be it in Kerala and a few of them in Bangalore. And they are closeted. They are not out with their parents. So they can't step out saying that I'm going to meet some friends of mine, because at that point of time, that was not a norm to be doing. So it was very difficult for them, because first, they're not getting to meet any of their friends, and also from friends from that community, or even dates of people who were, they just started. So my situation also, if you see, I'm actually in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend. He resides in Chennai and I in Bangalore. So we meet each other alternatively in a month. Every month we meet, and either I go to Chennai or he comes to Bangalore. So this lockdown situation also caused a disruption to that, because we were just basically 6 months into relationship or dating each other and getting to know each other before this whole thing disrupted the whole situation. So even this September actually makes it a year, and we tell each other that 6 months cannot be counted, because it's just gone up in the air. So I'm sure, like me, there are a lot of others who are facing a similar situation, more in for the fact, because now since you're at home, you don't really have the freedom to talk freely as well, because when you have your folks around you, they keep, they either eavesdrop on what you're talking, or they are always around. So you don't get to talk freely when you're not open and out to your parents, because it's not always that we talk all rosy, polite languages. So we do discuss a lot of scandalous things as well.
Privacy is not a notion in Indian joint family.
No, it's not. So that is something which I'm sure, because I would have felt really claustrophobic if I would have had this lockdown if I was at home, because I'm used to staying by myself and I have this sense of privacy which I can go back to, my comfort space. But if I was at home, though I'm out to my parents, but I still cannot freely talk about these things. Or even if I talk normally, I don't have that sense of privacy that I need for myself. so I can talk or be myself or be free and do whatever I want to, because you're living under their roof, so they will keep an eye on you. So I'm sure a lot of my friends or a lot of other people in the community are facing this issue because they are living with their parents. So there were situations also where their parents came visiting them for just a week or so. They were supposed to return back. And because of the pandemic, they are stuck in Bangalore living with them for a longer period of time because they can't go back. So yeah, it has caused a lot of inconvenience and loss of privacy, especially for those who are closeted, yes, because they have to be more on the vigil that they can't be free.
So how was a lockdown and the pandemic curtailed other freedoms in your life, particularly in a queer person's life? You're in a long distance relationship, yet you go out for drinks, you meet other people, do you go on dates? All that has been completely shut down, or are you still meeting people?
When I started dating him, I was in a close relationship. I was not meeting anybody, and my close friends are the only ones I used to meet. So this 6 months, actually, as we both haven't had sex in 6 months, and it has been really a dry spell, if you can put it like that. So I think recently we just decided that, okay, we don't know how the situation is going to be. And sex is a need. So we don't want to impose any restrictions on each other where we'll get frustrated, basically, and it will strain our relationship in the long run. So we just recently decided, okay, let's opt for an option where we go open and we meet people, socialize to, or even have one-night stands or sex with others so that we don't frustrate and strain our relation. So that's something which we recently decided. And actually, he's coming to meet me after 6 months this month. So we'll have a sit down and talk what are do's and don'ts, because I have done this before and did not end well. So yeah, so I think a sit down with a clear instruction on do's and don'ts, that will help.
Mm-hmm. So you've not met any new people in the past 6 months?
No, I haven't. First of all, I think the whole hookup culture all came to a full stop during the pandemic. I think people who have been even just in a dating phase, not tied down to a relationship or even just on a hookup spree, they can't do anything. So, because I remember after the lockdown started initially, in just 2 weeks, I used to get messages from people I haven't spoken to for months. Because I think everybody was just very sexually frustrated because they were just sitting at home. And self-help can only take you so far, right? So I remember the amount of messages from people, which I'm sure it's just not me, but others also would have gotten, where people were just reaching out to others. And the whole concept of call over the voice changed into video calls, which became the norm. Because earlier, video calls were considered to be a very invasion of privacy. Like, why is this guy calling me on video call? It is only if you're comfortable and you know it's a known person, people go into a video call. But that has changed now. Everything, the norm is now video call. If you're calling, means you're going to do a video call with the other. Because I think that brought down the distance between people during the pandemic.
Yeah, it has blurred the boundaries.
Correct.
Yeah. Because now people know that you're home. You're not traveling. You're just home. You might as well answer the call. That's very interesting. So you must also have a lot of single friends who could not meet and date other people in this pandemic. How are they taking it, other than the messages that you received, of course?
I have a friend who's single. Most of my friends are all taken, so he found it difficult because he had just thought, okay, let me just put myself out there and start dating and see how it goes. Because he was also fed up of the culture of just sleeping around. He thought he wants to do something meaningful and see how it goes. I mean, not with the idea that he needs to pursue that rigorously, but he just wants to keep himself open. So that came to a standstill. And yeah, it was difficult for him. And on top of that, he's a doctor. And at that point of time, doctors are considered to be a very taboo thing in India because you are the direct source to a patient.
Tell me about that. Tell me about that. Why are doctors considered taboo?
I mean, even he faced it, and he was also a little, because everybody had a notion that, okay, now people working in a hospital are in close proximity to this infection. And I do not want to interact with anybody who can get me the infection. So if suppose I had turned positive and I did recover, but still I'll be considered as a black mark in the society. And nobody would want to come and talk to me and just keep a distance from me. They would help me for sure, but they would all want to keep a distance from me. Because they were really, really scared about the disease back then, but the pandemic when it started. So he found it tough too. So he couldn't really go and say that I'm a doctor. Because earlier, being a doctor, everybody was like, okay, wow, I have someone at my disposal that I can go for quick medical advices. But that really changed. People were kicked out of their own homes, rented homes, that they were like, go find another place to live. So yeah, it was difficult for him. So even if he had a chance, and there were people during the lockdown that took risks of meeting people still, but he was still in a category of people that people still think twice. The ones who take risk of meeting others will think even twice for that, because he's a doctor who has a chance of, who has high chance of infections because he's in the field fighting the pandemic.
You said you were in a sales job and it involved a lot of travel before the pandemic started, before this lockdown came upon us. And now you're working from home, and it must have affected you. You were mentioning that it has affected your work.
Yeah, so me being in sales, and any salesperson would agree to this, predominantly our work is where we convince, and it's a mostly a face-to-face interaction, where we meet people in person, whether it be a pitch or any problem resolution. Yes, we can do a segment of work through our calls, but if something needs to be done in per se, it has to be face-to-face. So that really changed. So first of all, when the lockdown got imposed, that brought the business to a standstill. There was nothing to do. Nobody knew what to do. So company was in scrambles, trying to figure out what to do next. Because at the start of the lockdown, when it just started in March, end of March, we were in the notion that it was only going to last for 2 weeks. So company took this as an opportunity of 2 weeks to just introspect, break down, and let's think of strategies of how to come out of it. Never did they think that it would prolong for 2 months. So nobody did. So every business got impacted. So, but at this 2 months, I think the whole company's way of working changed. Everything has mostly turned into a virtual meeting. So yeah, now we are still learning to get into the new normal of only virtual meetings, getting things done virtually. I think which was never something which was a norm in sales, or which used to happen in sales, predominantly in IT sales, probably, but not in sales of FMCG goods, real estate. Imagine now the builders, they were saying that since customers are not stepping out even after the lockdown is open, and they are coming and seeing the mock-up flats of apartments that they want to buy virtually. So they're taking a video and they just take around and show the whole mock-up flats so that they can get to see. So they are not coming and visiting in person.
Okay.
From a colleague of mine who is in the builder segment, he was saying actually purchasing homes were on a spike during the lockdown. So people who were not about the spike in purchasing, also the inquiries which is happening spiked, because people were sitting at home, so they had thought, okay, let's just we had this in the back burner, we thought we'll just take it up front and do it right now. So they were saying that they were getting a lot of inquiries regarding sales, virtual tours of the apartments, inquiries about the apartments. So that didn't really slow down. The only thing which slowed down for the real estate here was that construction came to a standstill. So everything is now on a rut. People are just trying to accept that, yeah, there is a pandemic going on in the background, but I cannot stop living. I need to survive.
So the pace of life is basically slowed down in
Bangalore. Correct. So that actually slowed down, and people started to appreciate the beauty, because Bangalore was known as the garden city. And unfortunately, yes, the garden is diminishing year by year. But I think during the pandemic time, they got to appreciate whatever is left to enjoy and relish. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. But now things are picking up in Bangalore.
When do you think you'll be able to go back to office or be able to meet your clients?
See, I'm still going out. So when the unlock happened way back in May, I mean, late May, June, we were already going out in the market. The unlock had started in June. It's when the government decided in grades how they will open up the economy. So in May, unofficially, they eased certain restrictions. So only people with urgency for the need to travel used to travel and commute in the month of May. So in June, when things opened up, things changed basically. So then people started going out actually for work, reporting for work in the office with limited capacity and with alternating shifts. Just in the month of September, in Bangalore, the malls were allowed to open up after so many months of closure. So, but the thing is, as soon as the malls opened up in Chennai, they did the record sales. So I think it always puzzled me, because I don't know where people wear clothes and go these days, because even I don't know where to wear my good clothes to. So sometimes I just wear something and just go to my friend just lives close by, but I just wear the good clothes and just go there, because I don't know where else I can wear, because we don't go out anymore. But yeah, a lot of people are actually leveraging a lot of discounts and things which is happening to just at least boost things up.
There's a reason why it's called retail therapy. No?
Yeah.
Therapeutic.
It is therapeutic, definitely, in that sense.
Good to know. Anyway, it was lovely talking to you, Alan.
Yeah,
thank you so much for spending the time to talk to me. And we will talk to you in the next season. I'll reach out to you in a month or so.
That was Alan. We will return in the second season with live updates and on the situation in Bangalore. Next week, Fida Shuraab, who lives in the Gaza Strip and works for an NGO, will talk to my colleague Matthias on the effects of COVID in Palestine. Stay tuned. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider and look for us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or our website, recordofchange.com. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners.